We're thankful for the presence of all our visitors. And if you're visiting tonight, please know what an honored guest you are. And we hope you'll open with us, consider carefully the things that are said, and by all means, compare what is said with what the Scriptures say. Matthew 28, verse 18. These are the last words recorded by Matthew from our Lord before he went back to heaven. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So our theme this evening is we must broaden our vision. I want to read you a section of an article that was written by someone who became very special to Marilyn and me. And I'll tell you who it is after I read it. Our world is only as big as we allow it to be. To some, it will never be any larger than themselves. Others might include people they know and care about. A few might include a whole state or even a nation. But Jesus said, "God so loved the world." When Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, He calls us to look up from our lives to see the limitless world that stretches in all directions about us. The world which we are part of and which gives us nurture is a lesson in God's love. What God has planned for us is bigger than the Himalayan mountains, deeper than the dark depths of the Pacific Ocean, higher than the stars on a cold Canadian night, and broader than the Mongolian steppes. The breadth, the length, the depth, the height, which passes beyond comprehension. You see, God's horizons are uncluttered and untouched by man's selfishness and prejudice. They are refreshing and beautiful and awe-inspiring. Things keep us from enjoying the view. Blindness keeps us from seeing what is there. We need to broaden and enlarge our vision to include all that God has promised us in His fullness. It is only when we draw near to God that we can rise from the polluted valleys of our selfishness and the grubby streets of indifference to the sharp, clear air of Mount Zion, that our gaze might include the very perspective of God Himself. Well, I don't know how you feel about that, but I say that man can write. His name is Jeff Kingery. I was privileged to participate in his funeral a few years ago. He got Parkinson's disease. And, of course, it degenerates your body. It was a great loss. Jeff and his wife, Anna, were a great encouragement and inspiration to Marilyn and me. In fact, if there's anyone on earth who has lived who helped me broaden my vision, it was Jeff and Anna Kingery. And I want to tell you just briefly about that as we start the lesson. You see, Jeff and Anna lived in Milton, Vermont when I held a meeting up there, and Marilyn got to go with me on that meeting too. We stayed in their home. And it was the last meeting that was conducted in that town before they left town. And I'll tell you where they were going. They were going to Communist China with their three teenage children who were not happy at all. But they were all moving to Communist China. And the reason they were going is because of evangelistic reasons. They had an open door because Anna, the mother and wife in the family, is a school teacher. Anna taught junior high science and mathematics, a subject close to my heart. And she got a job teaching at one of the embassy schools in Communist China. And Jeff and the kids went along. And when they got there and they settled in and she began teaching for that school, of course, Jeff began evangelistic work. He would go to English Corner and get to know people who wanted to speak English. And then he'd study the Bible with them. And that continued and went on. And as far as I'm aware, in modern times, Anna and Jeff King were the first of our brethren to enter communist China. This is back some years ago. Well, as it might be expected, if you know Jeff Kingery, he was bold enough that he got caught. And so the government kindly asked them, not so kindly, asked them to leave. So while they had intended to be there several years and had sold their house in Milton, they had no place to go, but they were shipped out. And so they came to Tampa. And my dear Marilyn agreed that we could take them into our house. Now, folks, we already had four children. And they had three children. And our house was not set up for two families. But they moved in with us for several weeks because they had no place to go, folks. It was life-changing. Because there wasn't a day that went by that Jeff wasn't sticking the needle in and saying to me and to Marilyn, you folks need to broaden your vision. You are needed elsewhere on earth. And I would say to Jeff, I already have three jobs. I'm busy. I've got lots of things I'm doing. He says, I don't care. You need to go somewhere else. Two. And he wouldn't let up. I mean, it was day in and day out, and they were living in my house, our house. But they wouldn't let up. And not only that, he brought out his list. Because you see, on their way out of China, they decided instead of traveling back across the Pacific, they were going to travel all the way across Russia and Eastern Europe and Europe and go around the world that way. And every place he stopped, he was picking up names of people who were willing to study the Bible with people. That's Jeff Kingery. And he had a stack of names for me from Eastern Europe, from the Asian countries that they had gone through. These were folks who had already told him they were willing to talk to people about the Bible. Now, do you think that starts working on you? Well, it wasn't too long after that that the wall came down. You remember that? 1989. The most incredible year in my life. Some of you young people don't even know what I'm talking about. 1989. It was in the spring of that year that Hungary took down their barbed wire fence. And I'll tell you, we knew the Russians were going to come marching in with their tanks because that's what they'd done in 1956, you remember? And then nobody came. And it wasn't long after that that in Poland, solidarity began to get pretty feisty under Lech Walesa, you remember? And they began rising up against the communist government, and we just knew, now, they're not going to let this happen. The tanks are coming in and the airplanes. And nobody came. And it wasn't long, folks, before Vaclav Havel, who had been thrown in prison in Czechoslovakia for speaking out against the communist government, had been released and was leading a group of people in a revolt against the government in the Czechoslovakia, which ended up being called the Velvet Revolution, as Vaclav Havel, the man of letters, ended up being president of that country. Incredible. And in November of that year, you remember, when we were privileged to watch as people danced on the Berlin Wall. Well, I had this stack of people. from Eastern Europe. So several of us decided we were going to go take a tour of Eastern Europe and see if it was really as open to the preaching of the gospel as we thought. That was the spring of 1990, folks, and we were privileged to land in West Berlin, get in a Volkswagen bus, and travel all over Eastern Europe. We stopped at the Berlin Wall and chipped off some of that wall. There were little boys running up and down that wall, renting hammers and chisels, just like good capitalists. And all of us chipped off pieces of that wall. I have a chunk this big that's in our library now that we brought home from that infamous wall. And we went through all of Eastern Europe, and I want to tell you, every place we stopped, I had a name from Jeff Kingery to call on. And in every case, they responded openly, and we were able to go sit down with them and study the Bible. Incredible. Well, I'll not bore you with all the details, but I will tell you the end result of that trip and the trip next year is that several men from this country went to Eastern Europe and churches were established in Poland, in the Czech Republic, in Hungary, in Romania, that had never been there before since all of the communist days. And for Marilyn and me, it never left our minds that we had to go to. So in 93, we quit our jobs and we left. We took our son and we moved to Bucharest, Romania. Best thing we ever did. Incredible experience. And I can tell you it was in large measure because we broadened our vision thanks to Jeff and Anna Kingery. You see, Jeff and Anna Kingery were the first among our brethren also who got into Kazakhstan. You know right where that is. I've been in 28 countries, and you know what our reputation is as Americans? We speak one language, and not too well at that sometimes, and we're terrible at geography. I hope that's not the case for you. Kazakhstan, could you find it on a map? I won't ask for a show of hands. Anna and Jeff Kingery went to Almaty, which is the capital city of Kazakhstan, and guess why? Anna got a job. And Jeff went along and preached the gospel. As far as I know, first of our brethren to enter that formerly communist country. Some years later, he was already struggling with Parkinson's. She got a job in Indonesia, the largest Muslim country on earth. And they went in there to preach the gospel, thanks to Anna's teaching job. Incredible people. Sacrificial for the cause of Christ. Matthew, the 28th chapter, says the church exists essentially to communicate God's word. That was what he sent the disciples to do. And every Christian's to play a part. I know that because every baptized believer was told to keep the commandments that he gave them. And then if you turn to Matthew chapter 13 and you see the parable of the tares, the wheat and the tares, which I'm not going to read at length here this evening, I'll just read you what he said it meant. Look at verse 36. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And he answered and said, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels." Isn't it nice when Jesus explains his parables once in a while? And the only thing I'm going to emphasize for this parable is, he said, the field is the world. That's all I'm stressing tonight. I want to say it again, Christians. The field into which the seed was sown is the world. Not Asheville, North Carolina. Not Tampa, Florida. but the world is the field. And I'm telling you, Christian, you need to broaden your vision. I do too. The field is the world, not the United States of America. It's the world. And that's where God intends the seed to be spread. Everywhere. Oh, the United States is part of it. I understand that. But here it is. Color-coded. I looked up on the internet again today. Jesus said, you go take the gospel to all nations. How many think there are in 2012? I happen to have it here. There are 195 countries, 63 colonies and territories for a total of 258. Up here. In that 258 countries, colonies, and territories, there are 7.1 billion people. And of course, that number is changing all the time. In this little piece right here, there are 311,695,000 people. What's probably more meaningful is that in this little piece of the world, there are 4.5% of the whole world's population. 4.5%. Now, I don't have completely up-to-date statistics on this matter, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Of all the New Testament Christians that exist on the face of the earth right now, roughly 50% of them live right here. There's something wrong with that picture, folks. 4.5% of the population contains over 50% of the New Testament Christians on earth. That is the way it is. Most of the congregations in which those people worship average 50 people or more. Most of the congregations in the rest of the world average 10 people or less. The field is the world. We need to broaden our vision. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. A passage I have chosen that has absolutely nothing to do with evangelism. And that's our topic tonight. So why did I pick this passage? You'll see in just a minute. Because there's a principle here in this passage that's discussing benevolence. But the principle applies to evangelism. So we're in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. For if there's first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For if there's first a willing mind, it is accepting according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. I didn't read that on a second time by mistake. I did that on purpose. What he's talking about here is that we're going to be judged by what we have, not what we don't have. At that time, there were people in other parts of the world who had more than the people in Judea and Jerusalem. And they needed to share. Verse 13. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be an equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. You see, at that time, their abundance could supply the lack of those in Judea. And so what Paul was doing was he's going around gathering up monies and goods to be distributed and taken to Judea to share with those needy saints. And his whole point to the Corinthian brethren is, you've promised you're going to do this, get it done. I'll be there shortly. Your abundance will supply their lack. Now, can you see that also applies to evangelism? So I would ask you to think with me right now, as Americans, what do we have? What do we have? Let's think about our abundance and the lack of the rest of the world. We have thousands of highly trained and fully qualified men and women, young and old, who can teach the gospel. Thousands of them. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to other faithful men or people who will be able to teach others also. We're blessed with thousands of them. Can I say something to you right here? In this building tonight, there are more Christians who have the capacity to tell someone else about Jesus than there are in most of the 258 countries. I don't think you caught what I said. There are more New Testament Christians sitting in this building tonight than there are in most countries on the face of the earth. That's incredible. There are hundreds of thousands of devoted Christians who are fully capable of giving encouragement and support to all who will go and preach. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars in church treasuries. There are millions of dollars in pocketbooks and bank accounts of God's faithful people. Loyal disciples who will give gladly if someone asks, who is dependable and shows them how they can use their money to help the Lord's work. I'm convinced of that. We have facilities beyond man's former imagination. Planes can take you anywhere on earth at a relatively low cost. Computers and TVs and radios and faxes and instant communication and email and texting, Facebook, God forbid. The printed word is more easily available now than it's ever been in the history of mankind. And then you've got the electronic word, don't you? In addition to that, we have been introduced in our lifetime to one of the most unusual political climates on earth that has ever existed. There are very few countries on earth left, very few nations, where you cannot go in freely and teach the Bible. It's amazing. Our biggest challenge right now is radical Muslims. And there are some countries where it's dangerous, literally dangerous. But most countries on earth are open. Now, there's one other thing that you have that I want you to understand is a blessing. You speak English. It is the language of commerce. It's the language of politics. It's the language everybody wants to speak. Almost everybody. And everywhere I've been on earth, I've been able to locate folks who speak English who can help translate into other languages for me. You grew up learning how to speak English, the language of the world in this age. Hasn't always been the language of the world, but it is right now. We're talking about how we are blessed as Americans. And by the way, Marilyn and I both taught a little bit of English in Romanian schools. And they had learned British English, some of them. And I want to tell you, they were anxious to learn American English. People want to learn American English. And you have it. Even if you speak with a twang. I like to think about old Wendell Watts. He's from Alabama. Maybe some of you know Wendell Watts. He came over to Romania to help us in his 70s. And he went out on the street speaking his Alabama English. And they loved him. He even taught in one of the high schools. He's the one that's got our foot in the door in that high school. Because they wanted to hear his Alabama English. My name is Wendell Watts. I came here to help you out of communism. Would you like to study the Bible? I learned to love that man because he had no fear. He got out in the streets and handed out little handwritten pieces of paper to anybody who'd come by. He said, I'd love to study the Bible with you. He had so many classes set up before he left that we could hardly keep up with him. And out of his initial context, we baptized at least 15 people in that one town where he went. I'm just talking about how blessed we are. So what can I do? So now, that's all the introduction to this lesson. And here's what I want to do next. For the next few minutes, here's my goal. And I ask you to please bear with me. I get a little feisty sometimes. And a little overbearing. I'm not trying to be overbearing. Here's what I hope to accomplish. I hope there isn't one of you sitting in here tonight who's a Christian, who can leave this building tonight and not do more than you're doing now. That's my goal. I want to say that again. I hope there's not a single person in this audience that can walk out these doors tonight and live with yourself and not do something more than you're doing to help evangelize the world. So how am I going to accomplish that? Here's how I hope to accomplish it. I want to throw so many ideas at you that something's going to stick. I want to throw out so many ways that you can do more than you're doing that you can't possibly miss one of them. Maybe 10 of them. And if I don't hit something that really strikes you, I hope I've gotten close enough to it that you think of your own. Because there's no limit to this. Only limit is your own imagination, your determination to do something more than you're doing to get the seed of the message of Christ to the world. Asheville is part of the world. It counts. You get beyond Asheville. Now, I don't know what this church is doing in terms of foreign evangelism, and that's okay. I'm glad I don't. That way I can talk about whatever I want. And hopefully it'll help you. But I'll tell you, I'm not talking about the church here tonight. I'm talking about every single individual in this audience and me. Don't think church, think me. So what can I do? I say, beloved, you have two choices. You can stay where you are and get in more involved than you are now. Or you can go somewhere else and get more involved. Those are your choices. I don't believe you have any other choices. So let's start with the first one. You can stay at home and get involved. What you need to do, Christian, is broaden your vision. There is no excuse for not broadening our vision. Our world is a lot smaller than it was even 50 years ago. I want you to see it. So I'm going to start with this. You can pray for evangelists. You can adopt an evangelist in his family. You can support evangelistic efforts personally. I'm lumping all those three together for the sake of time. Every one of them deserves their own attention. Here's what I would love to see happen among this group right here, and any group for that matter. I would love it to be the case that every single Christian in this audience adopts somebody somewhere else on earth. and you tell me, I don't know anybody else somewhere else on earth, you're not going to be able to say that when I get through. That excuse is out the window after this night. You'll never be able to say that again. And when I say adopt someone, I mean adopt someone that's trying to spread the gospel somewhere else. Get yourself connected with a family, with an individual, with a group, so that when you pray for an evangelist, you're not praying this generic, Lord, help those people that are working in difficult places. No. You're praying for Denny and Benita Allen, who are preaching in Brazil, whom you've gotten to know personally. You know their family. You know what's going on down there. You know so much about it that it's part of your life. And you're living right here in Asheville. No excuse for not doing that. It's very easy. I'm going to show you how. But it doesn't have to be them. Maybe you don't care anything about Brazil. While I'm talking about them, I'm going to take a little sidetrack here. This is Denny Allen's report from Brazil on June the 14th, 2010. I get Denny Allen's report regularly. It's one of 50 I get from people all over the world. That's the first thing you need to do, Christian. You need to start getting reports from people somewhere else. Or maybe you start with just one. And if you're going to pick just one, I'd pick Denny Allen if I were you. Denny and Benita Allen are inspiring people. They studied the language of Brazil for several years before they went over there. And everybody in this audience knows the language of Brazil is Portuguese. Yeah. One of the few places on earth that Portuguese is spoken. Then they went over and they started the work over there, and that work has blossomed incredibly. And here is a paragraph out of his report from June the 14th, 2010. We continue to see tremendous interest in our website, which has been getting about 14,000 visits per day. Would you like to multiply 14,000 times 365 in your head right quick? I did it on paper. It's 5,110,000 visits per year. 5 million! That website, ladies and gentlemen, is in Portuguese. Several brethren contributed to a project that enables us to better track the context and provide personal data so we can more effectively use the data to get some of these people as we travel and other offer special studies. And I can tell you, from all those contacts, he travels around the country and reaches out to those people, and he goes there and teaches them and baptizes them by the hundreds. We've also released a new version of a DVD that includes all the print and audio content on the entire site, especially for people who do not have good internet access. We have distributed over 3,000 copies of previous versions of the DVD, and over 30,000 people have downloaded the entire content of the DVD series. Now, here's the most interesting thing about that to me. Guess who set up that website for Brazil in Portuguese? Carl Hennecke, a preacher in America, and he stayed home. But he designed the website for him, and he got all the information that was needed. He got that all set up from America to use in Brazil. Now, I'm looking at some of you youngsters in this audience. Are you techies? Have you ever set up a website? Raise your hand. Anybody set up a website? I thought so. When I want something done on my computer, I call my son. You can say right here in Asheville, North Carolina, and let me give you a challenge. there have to be at least 100 countries around the world that don't have a website for preaching the gospel. You could take that on from right here. And I'll tell you what happened with Carl Hennecke's website. They got 5,110,000 visits in 2010. Now, here is the report from March 24, 2011. A very high percentage of our best opportunities come from publications offered in print and on the Internet. The Internet work has grown in ways I never would have imagined. I'm thankful for the brethren who dedicate hours every week to make it work. Carl Hennecke's done that for 15 years. You want a job from Asheville? Set up a website and take care of it for the next 15 years for somebody somewhere else on earth. You think you could do that? If you couldn't, encourage one of these youngsters. The main website offers a wide range of Bible study material, articles, outlines, questions and answers, audio sermons, classes, etc., etc. If the trends this month continue for the next week, this will be the first month that the site gets more than 500,000 visits in 1 month. That's Brazil. If you ever start getting Denny Allen's report from Brazil, you won't be able to live with yourself till you do something. And that's just one, folks. There are hundreds of them with whom you could become connected. Now, can you honestly sit there and say, "Dear Lord, I don't know how to do this. This is not something I could do." Oh, yes, you could. Every single person could do it with somebody different. And if you don't know anybody, here is a website, which I'm sure you're going to write down right now. www.evangelismupdate.com. You know why that website exists? Because somebody decided we need a compendium of reports from all these different preachers all over the world that'll be a convenient access for other folks. This is not a centralized organization. It's a couple of people that just started collecting reports and putting them out here. By permission, of course. Somebody thought of doing that. And by the way, it's not a very good website compared to modern standards. You could do a lot better. But it's there. And since I wanted to show it to you, we took some clips out of it. So here we go. If you went to Google and you put in Evangelism Update, you'd see as the first entry, Evangelism Update. And if you click on that, here's what you're going to see. This is Evangelism Update website. So what country do you like? Well, you can see all the way down the side over here, and this isn't all of them. It's cut off down here, but from Argentina to South Africa, and it keeps going. All these different countries, they have reports from preachers who are over there who send regular reports. And all you have to do is click on one of them. So since this isn't live, I've just picked one. So here we go. I have picked Colombia. And everybody knows where Colombia is, right? Americans. Colombia is a country in South America. My guess is if I had given you a map, most of you couldn't find it. I hope I'm wrong. But here it is. It sits right here. You see, here's Panama. It sits right beneath Panama. It's the northernmost country on the northeast side. Is that right? Northwest side of South America. So here's Colombia. My, is there a story about Colombia? If we had time tonight, I could talk to you for the next 2 hours. Because Royce Chandler, with whom I share grandchildren, Marilyn and I share grandchildren with them, is one of the key factors in having that work be where it is. It's a fascinating story. There are now some 40 different congregations. I'm sure there's more than that by now. Did you see down here, Royce Chandler's reports? If you want to learn about Columbia and connect up with some of the many hundreds of Christians and preachers down there, simple, simple. Many of them have access to computers, and all of them have access to snail mail. So you can start connecting up with somebody in Columbia. While we're looking at that, I want to show you two other reports right here. This is a report from Bob Owen, who is 82 years old and goes every year, sometimes three times a year, to Ethiopia in his 80s. And when he gets there, he gathers together hundreds of preachers. Did you know that the Ethiopian eunuch has left a huge legacy? There are thousands of New Testament Christians in Ethiopia, and they are growing by the hundreds. Ethiopia and India. This is Ed Harrell's report from India. A bunch of men are going over to India regularly. Those two places on earth right now, I think, are the most growing places in terms of getting new Christians of any place on earth. So I think you ought to start getting Bob Owen's report and Ed Harrell's report. And here's what you'll find out. There are lots of men over there that would love to go preach the gospel. And you can support them for $50 a month. And they get a bicycle. And they'll ride to several different villages and teach people the Bible and baptize folks by the tens and fifties and hundreds. And you can be a part in it from Asheville. There's unlimited number. And many of them speak English. I have South Africa up here too. Alan Fox, David Beckley, Les and Linda Maydell, the new ones I mentioned just a while ago. The Buchanans have just moved over there. It's a young couple with three little children. Listen, there's so many you could connect up with in South Africa. It's a great work. And they go up into these other countries, Namibia and Botswana, up to Zambia, lots of the other South African countries. Listen, you can become an expert on South Africa and connect with people in the church over there. Most of them speak English. You ever start getting Les and Linda Maydell's reports? Linda Maydell's from St. Louis. She was Linda Link. She was in my first calculus class that I ever taught. And Les Maydell didn't take calculus, but he took Linda. And he married her and took her to South Africa. Her mother never forgave him. And she's been in South Africa ever since, and that's since the early 70s. They've given their whole life over there. Les is a native. She's not. She writes the best reports, ladies, because she tells it from your perspective. It's just wonderful. And if you ever got in touch with Les and Linda Maydell, they can put you in touch with 68 others over there if you want. Because they know everybody. You can send correspondence courses and study with people in the Bible via the internet. And you say, how do I do that? Well, here's BibleStudy.org. BibleStudyGuide.org. It's a website. It has everything already done for you. Now, I understand you've got Les over here who set up your website. Les, do you have it set up so they can study the Bible on the internet? And then it directs you? Yeah. Well, here's another one. Are you familiar with this one? This was done by Alan McNabb. He used to preach at South Livingston. He just started doing it, folks. I keep telling you, if somebody decides to do something, he said, I'm going to set up a website so that anybody on earth can study the Bible with anybody else on earth. And that's what he did. And let me show you some of the features of this website. Again, you can Google BibleStudyGuide.org, and this is what you find. You click that first one up there, and here's what you'll get. Here's the website, BibleStudy.org. And there's a picture of Alan McNabb. He's bald. Doesn't slow him down any, though. He's a good man. He's done all kinds of work on this. And you notice, look down here. You've got video devotions. Let me click to a new page here. You see across the top, home, podcast, Bible study, salvation, e-books, topical guide, audio lessons, articles, video lessons, the Lord's Church, video devotions, games and quizzes, interactive lessons. Let's click on interactive lessons right there. Here's an online Bible study, and interactive lessons are available. So we'll click on that. And here we are. Here's some interactive Bible lessons. Are you really sure of your eternal salvation? Are you worshiping God in spirit and truth? First principles and how to understand the Bible. All set up for you. Let's go to first principles. First principles lesson. Lesson 1, God's love and authority. Lesson 2, the church. Lesson 3, worship. Lesson 4, God's plan of man's redemption. Everything's all done. You don't have to do one thing except click buttons. And you can connect with somebody somewhere else on earth and study the Bible with them. Amazing. Let's see if I have anything else up here. Oh, here's actually one of the lessons on God's love and authority. You see, they can read the scripture and then answer the question. Here's another one. I put this back up at this juncture to say to you, name me a country. I'm not asking you to say it out loud. You name me a country. I'm going to name you two or three, and I'd love to have a little quiz here, and you tell me where they are. Togo. Togo. T-O-G-O. Togo. It's on West Africa somewhere. Seychelles. You don't even know how to spell it, much less find it. I'll spell it for you. It's S-E-Y-C-H-E-L-L-E-S. Seychelles, exactly what you thought. It is, thank you. It's an island nation. Did you know there are New Testament Christians there? There are. Uzbekistan. Look, any nation you want to pick up out here, there's somebody you can connect with that knows something about that. They're either there or they've been there. And you can connect. And you can start having an impact somewhere else. And I've already heard from folks in this church, Asheville's a tough place to spread the gospel. In fact, I heard that out in California or in Oregon, the word is, if you want to live a homosexual lifestyle and have everybody leave you alone, come to Asheville. It's advertised. So maybe you feel discouraged here in Asheville, that there's lots of folks who don't want to hear anything about it. Let me tell you what will happen to you if you start broadening your vision. If you as a church, for example, did what the church in Indiana did not long ago, it's a church at Greenwood. The preacher got a hold of 10 names of people in Nigeria who wanted to study the Bible with him by correspondence. 10. So he started sending them correspondence courses by snail mail. When they sent back the first lesson, all 10 of them said, "We've got 5 more people we want you to send correspondences to." So what is that, 50 more? Now he's got 60. And he's sending them all correspondence courses. He couldn't keep up with it, folks. So he started asking people in the church at Greenwood, "Would you help me send correspondence courses and study the Bible with somebody in Nigeria?" And before long, the whole church practically was studying the Bible with Nigerians. And they didn't go anywhere. They stayed in Greenwood. I'll tell you what will happen at this church at Asheville if you get turned on to this like you should. This whole church could be studying the Bible with somebody somewhere else on earth. So what if nobody in Asheville wants to study with you? There's somebody on earth that does. And you can reach them. And when you get so excited that the effect you've had on somebody somewhere else, it might encourage you to ask somebody here again. That's what happens. So I hope that you'll go home tonight and you'll dream about this picture. There are some 13,000 congregations in the United States. Now, that's all branches of what they call the Churches of Christ. I would guess out of that, among our conservative brethren, I'm just guessing, let's just say 2,500. I know there are 2,200 because I got the names of 2,200 of them. There are only 258 countries on earth. So that means every church could adopt a nation easily and say, we're going to work on that nation. Oh, I have this dream that every nation on earth is covered by some congregation that says, we're focusing on that nation. Why not? In addition to Asheville. Don't give up on Asheville. Have evangelistic efforts here as you've been doing. I'm so thankful you've hired Les to help work with Joe and help even do more here. Absolutely. Learn a foreign language. I want to pick on you young people again. Listen to me. While you're young and your brain is still malleable, learn two languages, not just English. You don't know what the Lord's going to do with you. If somebody had told me when I was your age I would be preaching the gospel in Bucharest, Romania, I'd said, you're nuts. I don't even know where that is. But I ended up there. And trying at 45 to 50 years old to learn Romanian, and Marilyn can attest, I tried hard. It didn't stick. And our son, who was 13, never took the first lesson. And he was translating at the Lord's table before we left. Made me sick. No, it made me thrilled. And that's what you can do, youngsters. Mamas and daddies, be bilingual at your house. I was with Jeff Wilson and his wife. What's her name? Sorry, I can't think of her name, but Jeff and his wife, Wilson, preaches at Kleinwood. She speaks fluent Spanish. They have three little children, and at home, if they speak to their mama, they have to speak in Spanish. If they speak to their daddy, they have to speak in English. And those little kids don't think a thing about it. They're speaking both languages fluently. When they go to a restaurant, they took me out for Sunday evening restaurant at a Tex-Mex place. And the little kids are ordering for all of us in Spanish and speaking to that Spanish waitress as if they were natives. It's amazing. Can you learn a foreign language, children, young people? Why do you do it? Not just because you're banging your head against the wall trying to learn a language. You're doing it for the Lord's sake. Who knows what God's going to do with you? The other option is to go and get involved. You can go on short trips. That appeals to most folk. But please don't just go. Plan them with somebody that's been. And make sure you've got a specific goal in mind. Take your vacation, family, Couldn't you take one vacation out of your whole life with your children where you spend every dime that you spend for the sake of the Lord? Maybe you go to a little tiny group in Canada that's struggling, needs encouragement. You go up there and find a place to stay, and you spend the whole time helping that little church. You get out in the streets and hand out flyers. You clean the church building for them. You prepare materials. You encourage them. I'll tell you what your children will tell you when you get home. They'll tell you that's the best vacation we ever had. Because instead of spending $3,000 to go to Disney World, and by the way, I want you to come to Disney World. Florida lives on tourism. We need your money. But would it be more valuable to take that money that you would have spent on yourself going to wee little world and going somewhere on earth to help somebody spread the gospel? Or you can take longer journeys like Marilyn and I did. We lived in Bucharest for 2 years. Life-changing, folks. Life-changing. You can tie it to your business. We have teachers in this audience? I know we do. I'm a math teacher. I don't know if I'll do this. I know I won't with Marilyn because Marilyn can't handle traveling again like we did, I don't think. I about killed her. But if I were to take a job in the United States at one of these big arenas where all the headmasters come from all over the world and hire teachers, if I were to take a job teaching mathematics, let's say, in American School of Bucharest in Romania, they would hire me over here, they would pay me a nice salary, which is completely tax deductible up to $70,000, they would pay our travel for our whole family over and back every year to visit. They would rent us, they would get us an apartment, pay for all the utilities, and give us transportation. That's a pretty good deal. And so I could go over there at their expense, teach math all day, but that's not why I'm there. I'm there because every night and every weekend I'm out helping the work of the Lord. You see that? I told you I'm trying to throw so many things at you, something sticks. Of course, you can move your family to evangelize. This church will get along fine without you. There's some place on earth that may never have a church without you. That's what Jeff Kingery said to me. Second Timothy 2, verse 2. The things that you've heard among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. That's God's plan. God's plan works. How do you think they took the gospel of the whole known world in the first century? 7 billion people, folks. You know how long it would take if everybody got busy? Would not take that long to give everybody an opportunity to at least hear about Jesus. That's the lesson for tonight. And we end with that phrase, we must broaden our vision. Jesus said, the field is the world. So I thank you for your good attention, and I hope that I've accomplished the goal that I said to you at the very beginning. I hope you cannot live with yourself without doing something more than you're doing now for the field. And God bless you toward that end. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's ready to confess the name of Jesus. you're ready to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you are, we're ready to baptize you for the remission of your sins. We hope we get to do that. And maybe there's a Christian who needs to get the prayers of this group so he can get started again or revived again. Whatever the case, we hope you'll come while we stand and as we sing.